kingly confidence, masculine mastery, fearless freedom. Welcome to the podcast that supports you to show up in the world as the unapologetic, unfuckwithable, free-loving king you were born to be. Join Masculine Mastery Coach Mark Usher on a journey to releasing conditioned stories of unnecessary stress, struggle, and shame, while unlocking unlimited levels of inner peace, power, and prosperity in every area of your life. Fearless freedom comes to you as you self-authorize your masterpiece life, knowing in your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. And now, Mark.
Most men, when they finally look in the mirror at themselves, how they're showing up in a relationship, and just how their relationship with their queen is panning out by itself, by default, there'll be a stark reflection in the mirror which shows that there's unhealthy doses of same shit, different day stagnation that has crept in over the years. Of course, I'm talking to sort of long-term committed relationships here. Now, long term, you know, is that, at what point is it long term? You know, it can be a number of years, and indeed, you know, it can be after 3 or 4 months that the same shit, different day, sort of the old patterns just settle in. The honeymoon period of novelty, of the newness, of this new persona in your life, your personality, the novelty of you, your charming jokes, the habitual ways you show up that are charming initially, but then it sort of settles. So whatever point that comes, most guys, myself for sure, I've spoken before, you know, 12 years into a deep, long-term, committed relationship with my queen, I mean, it took a man coming into our castle to uproot my stagnancy, uproot my arrogance, actually. And make me realize that the same shit, different day, by default, comfort zone that I was just tolerating in the background. Honestly, I knew it was there. I knew that a lot of fire was gone. I knew that, you know, there were so many times when my queen was giving me feedback, you know, in all this golden thread of conversation, in arguments going back down through years, where she was asking for more intimacy, she was asking for more passion, she was asking for more just life, libido, you know, sexual energy, desire, lots of things, but emotional intimacy and sexual desire were key things. And ultimately I was coming up empty-handed, nothing near where I ultimately wanted to be myself, and definitely nowhere near where my queen was asking, requesting, and requesting me to go. So the more I speak and coach with guys around the world, and get into deep one-on-one conversations with men, you know, it's an almost universal experience where at some point the freshness, the libido, the sexy aliveness that, you know, characterizes the initial attractive phase, it wanes. And sometimes it wanes really to such a point where you're held together by the tapestry of the known. It's like the certainty of just having somebody there is almost the foundation. That's just safe, it's comfortable, it's easier to just ride on along that, you know, that boat, just because of the certainty of the known. It just has this sedative effect that the effort of, you know, becoming radically honest with yourself, radically honest with your woman, and actually doing the inner work necessary to just reinvigorate it, there can seem to be, there's way too much effort and indeed risk involved in that. And then, you know, the risk involved in going for broke, just saying enough is enough. So there's multiple different reasons, it's, you know, for why this ends up happening. As men, you know, I've spoken before, we're born into a society that remains, you know, progressively more like less and less men around the world are being initiated, formally initiated with initiatory rites of passage that have been handed down through the ages, that are, you know, energetically, psychologically, spiritually, brutally effective at snapping us out of our younger, you know, boyhood years, the heroic sort of, we have absolutely no limits and we have like a sense of entitlement, to initiating us into becoming true men, true warriors, that we know we have a sacred sense of absolute humility, the ground of truth of where we're at, you know, our weak points. But we have this groundedness in that. That doesn't bring us down, but that keeps us grounded. As a result, we end up bringing, you know, this inner child, I call it like a puppy dog persona, into relationship with us. And what our woman's want is the alpha wolf. I won't go too deep into this, but just in today's, you know, in the title, how to practice alpha decisiveness. What's like that alpha wolf decisiveness versus like the puppy dog? Well, it's just indecisiveness. It's the puppy dog just meanders along because it doesn't need to be directional. A puppy doesn't need to be directional yet. One of the major issues in relationship is the core masculine practice, and I call it a practice consciously, the practice of being unapologetically decisive, is being eroded. Our confidence and clarity in ourselves as men, in relationship, but also in life in general, of just being unapologetically decisive, it almost has become politically incorrect in these ages to be just black and white, make a decision and line up behind it. And yet that is what is necessary and what is so deeply missing in how men are showing up in relationship with their queens. There are major reasons why this has happened. Again, you know, it's within the limits of just this one episode. I've spoken to it before, but it's very important to just to nod and bow to the significance of the sort of how for several generations now, as boys growing up, in so many circumstances, we ended up being taught and reared way too much in the presence of women, in the presence of the maternal mother. And this is no limitation of our mother, but, you know, in the pre-industrial revolution days, we were reared, and our fathers, our uncles, our granddads were on the ground. We were in the fields with them as young boys, learning about masculinity, decisiveness, and all the other beautiful, rich, masculine core characteristics from men. As a result, multiple generations, you know, the men were ripped off the land and they were sent into the factories initially and then into office jobs, corporate world, the modern version. But the man has, for many generations, been away from the home. So over the years, over the generations, boys have been reared into learning about life predominantly by the feminine. And for many reasons, as a result of this split, the man being away, the feminine at home, the female, the women being at home, there was an energetic imbalance, and so many of the needs of men and so many of the needs of women were not being met, were not being spoken, as, you know, men and women, well-intentioned men and women, well-intentioned mothers and fathers, trying their best, but in a social system that had sort of hacked the balance of having a masculine and feminine balanced embodiment in the house, had hacked that balance that had stood for forever. And with that balance gone, so many unmet needs brought grievances and resentment in. So often what has happened is there are unspoken, and sometimes unconsciously spoken a lot, resentments from women towards the masculine, towards men. And it's actually so often nothing to do with the man per se in their lives. It's the intergenerational handed down trauma. this ends up that our masculine core as men, this is an oversimplification, I'm just giving a few minutes of a mention of those dynamics historically, sociologically, that bring us to, you know, not having a grounded, absolute, you know, unapologetic confidence in our own masculinity in relationship. What brings about is, you know, we end up, in many senses, afraid to just be men in relationship. And what does that mean? So often, we don't actually know what it means to embody conscious, unapologetic, fearless masculinity in relating with our women. We haven't had, like, I touch base with you. You know, when you think of your dad, and if he's alive, if he's dead, in honouring him, you know, in honouring how he showed up, it's no commentary on him as such. Actually, how our dads show up and how we show up, how any person shows up, it's not a commentary on a person, it's a commentary on the culture and the society that we're born into and essentially programmed and conditioned to show up in a certain way. Part of Kings of Freedom is like lifting the mask, lifting the veil, the conditioning, stripping it back to just reconnect us individually, collectively as men in our fullest, fearless freedom to just be fucking men, be sexually energized, aroused men, but in a conscious way that brings our heart, our loving, our compassion, our sacred kingly fuck energy to penetrate our women and the world to get what we want, but in such a way that opens the feminine goddess into bliss and brings bliss and joy to the world. You know, it's like it's the highest calling. That is the point and purpose of this. So in the lifting of the veil, taking any right or wrong morality bullshit to the side, you know, just looking at your dad, you know, did your dad embody the highest, you know, conscious masculine embodiment of, like, was he a guru of intimacy and love in a way that when you looked on or you look back at your childhood, you can go, wow, he just was a master of sexual attraction. He was like a practitioner of polarity. You know, he did the masculine feminine dance in a way that my mother was so freely liberated to be as she wanted to be and move in a goddess free fashion and, you know, love her body and melt into the feminine, unpredictable, irrational expression. You know, like, did your dad show up in that sort of a way? You know, there again, right and wrong. And sometimes when we get, it's quite an emotive thing to reflect upon our dads like this, individually and collectively as a growing number of men around the world listening in. It can sort of seem like, oh God, you know, like if we get really honest with that, it's almost, there can be this feeling that there's a dishonouring of our dads, but nothing is further from the truth. It's just seeing the effects of the society that our dads were born into and the social norms and mores that they grew up with, that women grew up with, and recognising the constraints. Most men, the vast majority, if not every single man, actually, that I speak with in deep, intimate coaching conversations, one-on-one conversations, and in men's circles, witnessing, every single man has a story where it's like, wow, you know, he can recognize along the scale from intensely off, like some of you might have intense feelings and dark, direct, honest judgments of your dad being sort of catastrophically, severely out of alignment in how he was showing up with your mother, with your stepmother, etc. That's okay. And then there can be no right, no wrong, no better, no worse, sort of like a less intense feeling of, yeah, look at, he was a good man. Not ideal. There were limitations, but by and large, he carved out a nice relationship, an honourable relationship with my mother. And that's okay too. No matter where, what your perspective of your dad being, it's, you know, it's important, just like, how are you in your practice of decisiveness in relationship with your woman? How decisive, how confident and comfortable are you in making decisions in relationship? how comfortable are you in intuitively allowing a clear answer emerge within you and lining up everything behind that and owning that perspective with your woman, irrespective of what resistance comes from her. Just remaining grounded in yourself, that there's not a feeling of rejection or attack from your woman. You're just able to be grounded in your being and own your decisive, intuitive reading of a situation. There again, no right or wrong. This space is never to try and impress. And the invitation, as always, is to drop into the greatest heroic humiliation as possible. You know, there's this balance, repetition is mastery. The balance between kingly confidence and heroic humiliation. Kingly confidence is that sacred part of our being where, you know, you need to be able to reflect upon what's beautiful about you, what's amazing about you, what's your genius zone, what are your strengths, what are the gifts that you bring this world, your expressions that adds love and light and joy and just bolsters the human story, that adds beauty to this world. That's kingly confidence. Heroic humiliation, though, is the truest, deepest foundation for more and more expressions of kingly confidence and truth to come true, because it's the process of just hacking away and finding out where you're truly at now. Humus. The root of humiliation. Humus is ground. The ground of your being. The ground of where you're at now. So just getting real with where you're at with your practice of decisiveness and your capacity to remain grounded in that. And one thing about decisiveness is so often, like literally we don't really know what decision is about. What to decide as an action is actually about, on a literal sense. So often I go back to the root meaning of the word. What is the root? Like, where does that word birthed from? And decide comes from the Latin decire. And decire, like, it's to cut away. Effectively, decire, to cut away all obstacles. So when you decide upon a certain course of action, the literal inner world phenomenon that's after happening in your nervous system, if it is a true decision, is that you have done one of two things. You have conjured up a goal, an endpoint, a vision of what you want the adventure to look like, the goal when you hit it to look like. There's a destination or an end goal. And then you hack away all obstacles standing between you and that end goal. So you decide to go on a night out. Well, to decide to go on a night out, you'll find that you have to hack away all obstacles. You have to hack away, you know, the obstacle that there's nobody to mind the kids. You have to hack away the obstacle that, oh shit, the restaurant that you hoped would be there, you have to find a new restaurant. So you have to hack away that obstacle. Last second, you have to ring somebody else. You have to hack away the obstacle that, God, your suit that you wanted, coffee spilled on it as you're going out the door. You have to hack away that obstacle. You can see I'm just a very mundane, silly example. You know, there are so many different things that you have to hack away when you practice making a decision. Now, on a higher level, looking at your relationship, there's one point I really want to bring your attention to in practicing masculine highest self decisiveness in relationship with your queen. I want you to bring your awareness and attention to when you wake up in the morning. This is going on the assumption that, you know, you're in a long-term committed relationship and you're waking up with your queen. And hey, I honor and bow to those you guys listening in that maybe you don't have your life partner there yet. And, you know, this is part of just a, it's an inner journey. And, you know, if that's the case, if you can sort of think back to your last relationship, if you've had a previous experience relating with a woman that was in your life that you were living together, and I ask you this, is like, have you ever consciously decided to be fully present in that relationship that day? So you wake up, and then first few moments, you know, you've woken up and your woman is there, you're there, maybe you wake up together, but essentially, as you wake up and you take your first few breaths in that day, you're sitting on the edge of the bed, first few thoughts flow through your head, you set in motion a lineup of dominoes that in essence puts you into that life with that woman. But have you consciously decided that you are going to spend that day with your woman? Was that a conscious decision, or if it's just by default? The vast majority of guys, 99.99% of men, myself for the vast majority of time, that decision is just an habitual, subconscious, default decision. So much so in the background that a lot of guys would be like, well, I didn't decide. I mean, sure, I decided when I, you know, like, when we decided to move in together, you know, it's like, well, sure, that's when the decision, like, I mean, there's no decision there in the morning. There's no decision there. It's like when we decided to get married and we moved in. I mean, like, that's when the decision, you know, ring on the finger till death do us part, in sickness and in health. Well, that was the decision, Mark. You know, getting up in the morning, well, I mean, that decision was made years ago. I would say, yeah, there can be a valid perspective to that. Yet, habitual subconscious decisions, or lack of decisions. First of all, a true decision is not a once-off event. This is so fucking crucial to take on board as you relate with your queen long term. A true decision is not a one-off event. Think about it. I mean, cutting out all obstacles. You know, you think about, you get married to a woman, you decide to move in together, you make it official, it's like, we're moving in together, we're gonna make this work, and you're together. Bring it into, you know, other world decisions. You know, you decide to, a person, an Olympian, they at some point are not an Olympian, they decide to reach the Olympics, they decide to go for gold, and they make that decision. So at some point, you know, a Conor McGregor in MMA, like at some point he decided, and screw it, let's do this, enough is enough, I'm going to stop being a plumber, I'll decide to be world champion MMA. Whoever it is, at some point a decision is made. But the true decision is a daily recommitted to phenomenon. Because every day, there's a recommitment to that decision. Because in every day, there are new obstacles that can get in the way of the vision that you have projected for that vision, for that goal, for that dream that you want to become the top person in the sport, to have reached a success in business. We're talking within the realm of relationships. You know, there's a vision, there's an ideal, there's an ideal best case scenario of how that relationship can show up for you. You might have an idea, expectations, but there's going to be obstacles every single day. So you can make a decision back on your wedding day or when you propose, and you're like, well, that's when we decided. There's not a decision every morning, Mark. There is a once-off decision. And hey, I honor that. If that's your perspective on what it's like, a decision is a once-off event, well then, by default, you're missing the reinvigorating power, the rejuvenative power of imbuing your masculine decisive core that masculine decisive core, the heart center, reinvigorating your recommitment to deciding to be with your queen on a daily basis. You know, the Olympian that decides 4, 5, 6 years before their eventual podium finish at the Olympics, I am going to the Olympics. They've got to decide again and again. And it's by their commitment to deciding and making decisions every single day along that path and recommitting and cutting out all the obstacles that remain in their path, or fresh obstacles that come up, psychological obstacles, financial obstacles, environmental health obstacles, injuries, you name it. There are going to be plenty of obstacles out there by default. But the only thing that keeps a person motivated and focused is by keeping this red hot decisiveness of cutting out the obstacles and remaining on track. By and large, the vast majority of relationships, there again, just bringing it back to being honest, you know, in your relationships, has a sneaky sort of same shit day, different day feel snuck in over the months and over the years, over the decades for some of you, where it's like, maybe there's not too much drama, but it's like, it's just the same old thing. You know, it's just, it's settled. If you really wanted to be honest, you could say it's stagnant. And maybe you could be fine with it, but there again, I've said it in other episodes, I remind guys of this again and again, it's like, okay, well, if you have a settled, grounded confidence of, oh, but my relationship is fine, it's good, you know, well, what does your feminine, shakti, enriched goddess at her sexual center, what does she think of the relationship you have together? How radically alive does she feel in bed with you on a day-to-day basis as you walk around? Is she like, is her central channel, is her throat, her heart, her cervical area, is that opening and melting into bliss from sexual turned on aroused bliss merely because of the sound of your voice, from your decisive masculine core, unapologetically testosterone enriched body and being coming in, swooping into the room, kissing her and, you know, fucking her, making love with her, that she's just swimming in an ocean of your devotional love. Why? Because you are so decisively set that she is the woman and you are devoted to her. Is that the level of love she's feeling? Because that's the level of love that's on the table for us. Now, just because we haven't been told this growing up, just because modern culture, there's such a fucking limited representation of masculinity in just modern cultural showings of movies and songs. It's like sex, drugs and rock and rolls, but like, not there's anything wrong with sex, drugs and rock and roll, but it's just like, it's very limited and superficial. The profound embodiment of conscious masculinity, like at the sacred Shiva like level, where you know, how many times have you seen conscious masculinity embodied in film, in life, by some person, a mentor of yours, some member of your community, to a level of conscious presence, embodied consciousness, that you just know that man has reached an exceptional level of presence practice, that you're rocked to your core, his radical aliveness, the sparkling look in his eyes, this depth of voice, how he loves and refers to his queen, the devotional love. You're just, it's spiritual poetry that comes through his mouth as he speaks about his queen and how sacred she is and the divine, beautiful being that she is and the joy and the appreciation he has for this sacred dance that he gets to do with her on a daily basis and all down through the years. You know, an embodiment of a man that, it doesn't matter, he's like 3 decades, 4, 5 decades in that loving long-term relationship, but you're rocked to your core by the freshness, the vitality in him and clearly in his woman as well. How often have you met a man like that? Personally, very few. To that level, to that depth of description, very few. Very few. It, like, almost to a level, if any. Some come close, some, but it's on a level locally and very, very few that even come close. And yet, Kings of Freedom, the podcast, the movement, my purpose within this is, you know, it's like if you want to master something, teach it. I'm aligning my entire life behind teaching this, because in the teaching of it, you know, I push and challenge myself to embody that level. To embody that level in the face of the feminine shitstorm, the challenges of my initiatrix queen. I mean, it's a high-end game, but it's a high-end game. Uncommon high-end challenge leads to uncommon high-end levels of consciousness being revealed. So when we get to the making the decision in the morning, and my encouragement is, it's infinitely more potent to practice conscious decisiveness on a daily basis. Infinitely more potent. The effects are a millionfold more powerful than relating with a decision to be in relationship with your woman that decision was made as a once-off event 2 years ago, 2 months ago, 2 decades ago. The revitalizing effect of consciously deciding on a daily basis that you decide, like you consciously have a ritual. I have a ritual of like recommitting to practice the offering of devotional love to my goddess. And like that just on a daily basis where it's like, hey, I'm stepping into life. And it's like this embodied experience wherein myself, it's literally the acceptance that on any given day, this is quite uncomfortable to accept that you're that powerful and you always have this capacity if you well choose. And actually so does your woman. You have the power any morning to wake up and go, enough is enough. Today I decide to leave. So the decision is always there. By default, if you just decide by habit to just surrender into rejoining that reality, because it's just that gives the certainty and it's an unquestioned thing, well, the capacity to decide to leave is always there. Like, it's a free world. You are allowed to make a decision to leave. Some people do. They do so abruptly, they do so on their own terms, whatever, no right, no wrong. It can, it does happen. And the free being that you are actually allowed to do that. So, instead of going in by habitual subconscious decision, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, well, you know, I just rejoin. I mean, we woke up together and you just slip into your life, into your day, into the office, into the car, into the kitchen. You know, you just return home and it's the, you know, it's the peck in the cheek and it's just the same shit, different day. I mean, she's there that day. She'll be there tomorrow. You're there that day. You'll be there tomorrow. I mean, there's no question of every splitting, you're there by default. There's a sedated safety in that. And hey, look, it's sure you can carve out an experience that way. But it does not compare with the infinite potentiality and depth that you bring by on a daily basis, you decide within yourself as a man. And my challenge to you is actually, as I'm speaking this, I want to challenge you. Masculine core of growth, how we grow as men, the masculine core growth grows by direct challenge. I'm challenging you to start relating with your alpha decisive core, but bring it on a daily basis with your queen going forward. You know, at the end of this episode, it mightn't be your morning time, but I challenge you to just get off and practice intense decisiveness, conscious decisiveness, where you're like, you view how you want your relationship to show up that day. You get a vision of what's the ideal way you want your relationship to show up. Then, like, you can go deep into this, you can journal this. You mightn't reflect on this every morning, but it's like, well, what type of man do you need to become to create such a relationship? You know, expand beyond your comfort zones. Always have a vision that is beyond the man that you are today. I mean, progress is a key thing in, you know, re-establishing growth, re-establishing a new identity, a higher identity. There's no peak. There's no end point to mastery. And then commit to act as if you are already that man. And when you decide to cut away all obstacles in your way of embodying that relationship, how you would show up as a man, cutting away all obstacles. Now, where entanglement can happen so often, and where is the birthplace and the home place and the nursing home for putrid, intolerable, minimize and normalize mediocrity? And I'm having a jab at how I showed up for years. I still have habitual tendencies there, but for years, is this minimize and normalize way of just showing up so mediocre in such a mediocre way as a man. But the home place of mediocrity in relationship is seeing obstacles as being external to you. And the number one source of obstacles that the vast majority of men will see with the old conditioned mindset. You might be a leading edge practitioner and I honor you for that. But like the comfort zone is to trigger happy, point a finger and see horror faults. Your queen's wounds, your queen's subconscious games and manipulations and tricks and strategies that she does brings to derail you, to avoid all horror trigger points, to avoid all horror responsibilities or lack of taking responsibility, etc., etc., etc. I just challenge you. It's like, answer this, honestly. How many times in a conversation with your queen have you pointed out, it's in one of those intense conversations, and you just point out, hey, well, you need to change this. Very often, you're going to point out her shortfalling in the middle of an argument after she's after landing feedback to you that you're sort of avoiding, you mightn't agree, and you just slap her back with this other feedback. The vast majority of the time, that's when we give the feedback. How often has she went, oh my God, honey, you are so right. This behavioral shift that just suggested to me from an emotional state, which felt like shit, yes, it feels so right. I'm going to implement that behavioral change right now from this moment forward. You will not see that behavior that you have just poked a finger at right there now. Thank you. Thank you for giving me such a suggestion. How often has your woman ever received feedback like that from you? Direct feedback that is just like in a reactive moment, in a conversation, in an argument. When has she just like bowed and went, yes, cool, brilliant, behavioral change done? Very fucking rare that it happens. Nigh never. And we can get to such an exceptional level of safety that that becomes available. But the only route to that becoming available to you as a king of freedom in relationship is by practicing taking 100% responsibility, your ability to respond and own your shit. That's the king of freedom way. And if you look at the greatest peak performers in any arena of performance, the greatest performers assumed 100% responsibility for their brilliance, for their performance, and they made zero excuses. If you want to reach greatness, there is signs following every last path to greatness and path of mastery. And the path of mastery is assuming 100% responsibility. So when it comes to cutting away obstacles, if your mind by default, and mine did for years, so I'm holding my hand up, just finds obstacles in how your woman is showing up or not showing up, you know, and there's a part that's complaining and criticizing for and blaming and going, man, well, I'd have a perfect relationship, but she just does this, does that, says that, doesn't show up like this. She's moody as fuck. She's irrational. She's all these things. And there's a lot of shaming of her going on, blaming directly, in inner world blaming. You know, sometimes you mightn't actually say it to her and you think, well, I've a moral high ground, but on the inside you're sort of obsessively thinking and bitching on the inside. They are the major obstacles you need to hack out. This is the challenge. Alpha decisiveness. To hack stress, struggle and stagnancy out of your relationship forevermore. That is so available to you from today. But it involves taking on a responsibility that is uncommon at this point in modern world. Very few men practice this way of approaching their relationships with their queen. Yet, as a result, if you are one of the very few men that do so, you assume full responsibility. You're like, I'm going to own my shit. I am going to cut away obstacles, but I'm going to cut away my inner obstacles. And my inner obstacles, I am going to cut away my complaining about my queen. I'm going to cut away my criticism of my queen. I'm going to cut away blaming her for where she's not showing up. I'm going to cut away pointing my finger literally or energetically at her 100%. And instead, I am going to pay the price necessary to assume 100% responsibility myself. That is alpha wolf style decisiveness. I'm just thinking of the embodiment of an alpha wolf. You know, so many men, I don't know if it happens you, but like, I don't know, it's captivating for me to see a photo of an alpha wolf. Like the strength, the power, the focus, the fierce look in their eyes. You know, any depictions, I'm thinking of a book that my queen has or girls look at. It's like, it's a book. It's called Lupi in Italiano. Wolves. It's all these pictures of these wolves. And it's just what is communicated in those photos of an alpha wolf. It's enormous. It's a sexually stimulating, arousing picture. Not in like in a inappropriate manner. All sexual jokes to the side, but it's arousing. It arouses. It triggers in me, and I know like it's such a symbol for true manliness, true courage, heroic deeds. It's a warrior image. It just stimulates the part of our masculine soul. The embodiment of a wolf that is just has this psychological soul drawing in and attraction of our souls. But you look at an alpha wolf, they live essentially a precarious life. If you wanted to come from a puppy dog style, like a little lost puppy dog that wasn't initiated by his mother and he's showing up, you know, with all his shit hanging out and expecting his wife, his woman, his queen to, you know, potty train him in how to be a man. The alpha wolf has no day off. There's not one minute where he has time off being alpha wolf. And that's where the level of decisiveness, it cannot be habitual. The alpha wolf, when he wakes up, he's on alpha wolf mode. He is communicating by deciding to lead the pack, and by deciding to lead the pack, he needs to. It's imperative for his successful leadership of the group, of the pack, to embody such, you could call it masculine directionality, masculine decisiveness, confidence in his clarity, confidence in his embodied capacity to lead, that every single wolf in the pack is feeling safe in his presence. And remember, safety is the great need of the feminine in relationship. Safety. That's when the goddess can melt into bliss, melt into Shakti essence in sexual yearning for her alpha, kingly, masculine, godly presence of a man that's in her vicinity. The alpha wolf cannot have a moment off. And if at any point the alpha wolf sort of just doesn't snarl, doesn't growl at the right time to keep the order within the group. The group dynamics shift. And there's always going to be wolves waiting in line that are reading his energy, reading his body language, reading the way he's behaving, and are ready to step in. The stability of the group depends on this. And when the alpha goes, you know, the next in line, when he becomes alpha wolf, he has the price to pay. He has the price to pay, which is impeccable presence at all times. That's the way of alpha decisiveness. There again, it's an uncommon way of relating. It's much easier to just get stuck in the mundane, mediocre, you know, the busyness of life, the chaos of life. And my hand up. Like, we unschool, we've 8 horses, I think there's 25 animals, last count on term. Like, we're both entrepreneurs, myself, my queen, we have coming from such deeply traumatized backgrounds, so the relationship itself, you know, it can be chaotic at times, and just learning how to navigate becoming our truest, highest selves, being radically independent in our being, but also keeping an ecosystem that's interdependent together as we unschool girls that have their quirky, mad, unique wildness as well, and have all of that honored in an ecosystem and have everything functioning perfectly. It can get chaotic. It's quite the fucking challenge. And it's so easy to just bend and bow and submit to mediocrity that it's just way too chaotic. It's just not worth it. But the pain of mediocrity long term is when, you know, your wife just ups and leaves you once the kids are reared. That's the key time when, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's like, bring ourselves back to reality. Women, modern women, rightfully, are allowing themselves to make the choice to leave. They don't want to hang around and, you know, invest their whole lives in mediocrity and in stagnant struggle in relationships. They have the freedom to make choices. But that's not the kings of freedom route. Inner freedom brings outer freedom. And by, on a daily basis, consciously deciding to recommit to the practice of offering your sacred devotional love to your goddess. If she's in your fucking life, she deserves your love. And you're alive. If you're deciding to go into the day, you deserve to feel sexually stimulated, turned on to your masculine core, to that core unapologetic, unfuckwittable king that's in you. To feel the life force, the libido, the spiritual energy, the sexual energy rippling through every cell in your body, your bloodstream, just pumping the hormones of spiritual power, creating such a felt experience where your devotional love, not only to your queen, but your devotional love to your mission, your devotional love to your kids if you have kids, your devotional love to your spiritual practice, your devotional love of just being love. It's the ultimate masculine expression. To get so submerged into the embodiment of love that you just become love. It's the highest offering. It's the highest state of human existence. That's what you're capable of. That's what Kings of Freedom is about. That level of expressed freedom. That level of expressed freedom, that level of liberty, that level of liberated state of being and love in your relationship that opens you up to a yearning and receiving from your feminine goddess to a level that's uncommon, that's all on the table for you, men. But it's only you that can make the kingly, daily, conscious decision to recommit to devotional loving of your queen. And devotional loving of life itself. Coming into landing here. Practicing alpha decisiveness like the embodied alpha wolf on a daily basis as a daily phenomenon that you recommit moment to moment to moment to showing up in devotional love. That is available to you. Cutting out all obstacles by the definition desire. To cut away all obstacles. Fuck the outer obstacles. They will align in time in due course. Cut out the inner obstacles of complaining, criticizing, blaming, shaming. They're the true obstacles. And just own your shit and show up as the loving king that you are. And from there, stress, struggle, stagnancy will be eradicated out of your relationship, and you will have the most sensationally red-hot relationship you ever imagined possible. And that is the type of man your woman is yearning. If she's still in the relationship for you, she believes that's still possible. She's looking for your godly, kingly, alpha wolf self. Be the man. Stand up. Step into that role. And have so much fun embodying that. Think we've reached that point, kings of freedom around the planet. For today, what has been said remains perfect as it is, as it was said. Whatever remains unsaid will be said at another time, another day, another moment, when it will serve perfectly in that moment. Until that moment, go have a beautiful kingly day.
Thank you for listening to the Kings of Freedom podcast. To receive no BS proven strategies to unlock limitless levels of peace, power, and purpose as you lead your family and create your have-it-all life, sign up now to the Kings of Freedom email list. Find the link in the podcast episode description or at www.kingsoffreedom.me.